This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm not sure, but I don't think it's a good sign when the first thing I say to my producer is, hey, if you can find another sheet that's got a bunch of scribble on it, I need that. Did you look on my desk? I'm looking for something that's got...
Like Reardon's scribble.
Like literally my scribble with the red marker. Good afternoon. How we doing? You know, my wife and daughter are spending some time in mid-Missouri where we where I hunt and fish with my friend Kevin Yeager and his family. And she said that the temperature dropped about 13 degrees a couple hours ago.
Whoa.
And can you confirm, are we also here in our area of St. Louis, Missouri, expecting some snow?
Well, I guess they said there is a possibility that it's cold enough tonight that you could get a couple flakes, that kind of deal.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Is our temperature then supposed to drop?
All right, here's what it says for tonight. Hold on. I have a coach ad to stand through, and then I'll get to it. Okay, here's what it says.
This is a great way to open the show. It's all on me, by the way.
Partly cloudy and windy, stray shower or thunderstorm possible.
Oh, so, geez, 36 for the low.
But the problem is it gets really cold later. So
yeah. So I'm looking at the temperatures. It looks like it's going to be, when we get off the air, well, it's going to drop to
36.
60 by 6 o'clock,
yeah.
By 9 o'clock, 50. By 1 a.m., 40, and then by 8 a.m., about 36.
Yeah, at 36, you know, maybe one or two flakes, but that's too warm.
Yeah.
You can write that down.
We've been a little spoiled here. I rather like the way that March has been going so far, so let's see if we can keep that momentum going. And on that front, we have another Fish Fry Friday broadcast coming up on this Friday. We were in a little panic mode up until about maybe 10 minutes ago because Jane, she does this every once in a while, and I can't give her, you know, a lot of grief because it doesn't happen very often, but her husband, Joe, surprised her with a trip to South Carolina.
Well, that's so sweet.
Yes, and, you know, so... she's not going to be here on Friday. That means another position for someone on her side of the round table. The problem is that everyone's on spring break. Like I mentioned this yesterday, my whole block is on spring break. John Gaskin's on spring break. Oh. Jeff Smith's on spring break. So I think Donna Behringer is going to pinch hit.
Oh, good.
And we have Steve Butts. It will be a similar panel to what we had a couple of weeks ago, but we're just trying to lock people in. And we will see you at Assumption Parish on Friday afternoon starting at 3. It's on Mattis Road in South County. We're going to kind of hang in South County the following week at Queen of All Saints as well. But this is also a big weekend. Brian Kilmeade's coming to town on Saturday. We have a lot of plans around that for the 97.1 FM Talk staff. I keep being told by Brian and on this promo that I'm part of the show. I think Mark
what
and
does
Annie.
That mean?
I don't know. I think we're all going to be part of the show. Sue, you might be part of the show too. You're going to be there or not?
I don't think so. When is it?
Wait a second. Are you not going to be there?
I don't know. I'll have to figure it out.
Okay. No one's like done any planning with you about that?
No.
Okay, well, I'll be there. It's Saturday night,
well,
Sue.
You're
that's
part
when
of
it's
the
coming
show.
Up. On, well, I'm told I'm part of the show, but I don't really know all the particulars. But we'll be there on Saturday. This is one of those things like I usually, when I MC things or anything like this, you don't have a lot of prep to do, but we got like a rehearsal thing in the afternoon.
Yeah, that says to me that you are in a skit, which what I would find highly entertaining. So anybody who goes will need to let me know.
I think that we might all be in a skit. I think Mark and Annie and I, and maybe you, Sue, if you show up.
I don't know.
So we'll see how that goes. But if you go to briankilmeade.com, you can get VIP tickets, you can get regular tickets. There are seats available. It's a great venue. For those of you who have never been to the Factory, you're going to be blown away. This place is amazing. You're going to want to go back and see some bands there. Comedians play the Factory too. So it's Brian's show is not altogether unique from the standpoint that the venue does host shows that are a little bit more along these lines. And again, you know, some people had shied off from this, even people in our audience, because they thought it was going to be all politics. It's very inspirational, motivational. It's about America. It's something that I think is very user-friendly, no matter what side you might be on. If you love the country, if you're patriotic. I mean, if you're Cory Bush, I don't think I'd show up.
Well, no, but he says he talks about the content of some of his books, which really are great, and storytelling about the history of the U.S.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So we do have Brian coming up this afternoon. He'll join us at 4:25 this afternoon. Charles Lipson is going to get things started here in a few minutes. Oh, my God. I'm not going to blame anything I say on the air that's like that on Fred being gone. Even though, Ethan, you're doing a great job. It's just that, you know, we're a little thrown off our rhythm. And you haven't heard from him today, have you?
I haven't. It made me nervous because I did say something to him yesterday. The nerve of him to vacation without taking 5 seconds to text.
But are you texting or are you using the WhatsApp?
I'm WhatsApping.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, wow. Wait. No, you're right. I did text. Let me ask him on WhatsApp.
Maybe that's why. I messaged him on WhatsApp, but then I got a message back from my text messages. So that's why I was confused. I don't really know how it works. I don't know where I'm supposed to be getting
notifications. Wait, what time is it there
from now?
It's too early,
yeah,
right, for me
14,
to WhatsApp.
So, you know, okay. Right now it's 3 o'clock, so what, 5?
5:15.
He's not up. No. I'll text him anyway.
I would do it.
How's it going? Huh? That's motivating.
We didn't get a picture dump today like
yes.
We did yesterday. Or was that 2 days
maybe
ago?
Maybe that'll come tomorrow. I wonder if in Japan, I don't even know, you know, so many questions, because that's such a different culture than Europe or some other places that I've been used to traveling, or Sue, that you've been. But I wonder if they have, do you think they have Teslas that are being vandalized in Japan because of Elon Musk? Because
probably not.
That's what's happening here. And some of this stuff is just baffling and it's disgusting. Here is a dude. This guy is an African-American guy. He's got a Cybertruck and it's white. And he comes out. It looks like he's in an alley or something, didn't it, Ethan? And
yes.
The car is just destroyed. So he starts walking around the car. It's got paint on it, you know, all kinds of marks, graffiti. The windows are chipped up.
I'm saying it's a white Tesla. No, this is what happened to my car, y'all.
He's kind of walking around.
Look at this.
Red paint, black paint.
All kinds of different colors of paint. Some different words on there.
Yeah. And he's just, you know,
yes, it is.
Disgusted.
Of course.
Clown American. I don't know what this is. Is
that on the hood?
Yeah, so it said Clown American. Like, he's the guy responsible
right.
for anything. So here, I got a good part here that I will fast forward to.
I hope they catch all of these idiots.
Here, listen to this here. It's coming up in just a couple of seconds. We have just one long piece of audio here, so I'm trying to time it out. But this is when he starts to narrate a little bit more.
I'm in the back of the dentist's office, doctor's office, to show me the cameras. And my car is destroyed. Like, bro, I swear to God, you can ask Tiny. You can ask everybody. Every time I ride my car, they be like, bro, I love your car. I just hate the dude that make it. I don't give a... Bro, I don't... What the f*** do I have to do with Eli?
Yeah, exactly.
I like the car because it's a nice little car. It's unaverage. This is crazy.
Well, that's kind of ugly, but still.
I'm riding around with my son in this car.
That's another good point.
Yep.
I don't have my camera. I don't have nothing. I'm straight using my goddamn phone, bro.
I mean, it's a great point about there's kids that are riding around. I mean, there could be someone who supported AOC or Bernie Sanders or Cory Bush that are driving. I mean, let's face it. A lot of the environmentalists, they are lefties.
Yeah.
Now, why would defacing a Tesla help your cause or make you feel better? Or would you think that in any way, shape, or form that that's something that would result in different policy. I mean, listen to Jimmy Kimmel. He's so disgusting. Jimmy Kimmel has become one of the worst. First of all, he's a big crybaby. And then tell me how this is appropriate here. And let's flip the script around. Can you imagine Kilmeade or, you know, Jesse or someone, Gutfeld going on? And let's say there's a bunch of, I don't even know what the analogy would be with a car, and there's a bunch of Republicans out there that are destroying, I don't even know who the party is, but there's people out there destroying F-150 pickups. And Gutfeld goes on there and says, you better not vandalize that, because that's what Kimmel did.
Vandalizing Tesla vehicles, new Tesla vehicles. Please don't vandalize. Don't ever vandalize Tesla vehicles.
And then he paused. So he gave the wink, wink. He said, "Oh, go ahead." And I mean, how in the world is that appropriate? Then there's Tim Walz. This guy, we're so lucky. We're so lucky. I mean, that's really anything that comes up about Trump. Just sit back and realize how much worse it could have been with Kamala and this bozo. I mean, this guy's a complete clown. He really is. And he's been exposed as such.
On my phone, I don't know, some of you know this on the iPhone, they've got that little stock app. I added Tesla to it to give me a little boost during the day. 225 and dropping. So.
Okay, again, you have people that have 401ks. You have people that have invested in that company. It's an American company.
Yes.
And he's rooting the demise of the stock. Now, he did go on and say this.
If you own one, we're not blaming you. You can take dental floss and pull the Tesla thing off, you know, and take out, just telling you.
That's really funny.
You should play the Caroline.
Yeah, Carolyn responded to that today.
I think that's quite sad, but I think Governor Walz, unfortunately, is living a sad existence after his devastating defeat on November 5th.
Yeah, I think we should just leave it at that, because he is just a joke. But just think about the psychology there of someone that might go out on a rampage, and let's say they're at a Target parking lot. I don't know if a Cybertruck would go to Target, but let's just say you're in a parking lot in Chesterfield and you see a Cybertruck and you decide, because you have long hair, you're a hippie and you haven't showered in 3 weeks, that you're going to deface and vandalize the car. That's going to make you feel better for what? And what's going to come of that? I mean, obviously, when things like this happen, it's just a bunch of bonehead people anyway, but it's baffling that you have celebrities and other people in positions of not only power, but in, you know, in the media, basically advocating for continuing to do it, right?
What does it tell you about how people can let their thoughts and their emotions completely control them to the point where they are defacing other people's property?
The people on the left have a lot to deal with. They have this mental illness that is Trump derangement syndrome. They have Elon, you know, Musk derangement syndrome. They're lost right now as a party. On the one hand, you got Don Lemon going on with Bill Maher saying that AOC is somehow the standard bearer of the Democrats. You got Tim Walz out there doing goofy things. They really are. They're lost on this, and hitting Elon is the easiest thing that they have, which is why they keep doing it. Now, let's kind of segue into something else. Sue, we had a great time yesterday, and it was fascinating to sit here between like 4:30 and 5:30, and we did, if you were with the show yesterday, we joined some of the live audio from NASA TV and some of the Fox coverage. Brett basically let it roll over into his show as they did the splashdown from SpaceX, and this crew was brought back down to Earth. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was, and they dropped into the water. We got to see the whole thing, and then boats, three of them out of nowhere, come to the rescue, and the whole thing was just amazing to watch.
So this was a clip, and I mentioned this yesterday, honestly, because I'm suspicious of things that get said on both sides. You know, I'm skeptical. Like,
sure,
journalists should be skeptical, right? So I like to vet things. I like to find out what's really going on. And when I heard the allegation that, and let's face it, this has been going on for a little while, but the allegation that Joe Biden and his administration left these astronauts up there because of politics, my gut instinct was, come on, there's no way that they did that.
Yep.
And then the question was actually asked to the astronauts.
My question relates to Elon Musk has said that he made the offer to bring you guys back earlier and that it was denied. My first question is that true? And if so, what would that have looked like? Was he offering to make another flight, push seats on another flight? Could you give us some background there?
I can only say that Mr. Musk, what he says is absolutely factual. We have no information on that, though, whatsoever. What was offered, what was not offered, who it was offered to, how that process has went, that's information that we simply don't have. So I believe him. I don't know all those details, and I don't think any of us really can give you the answer that maybe that you would be hoping for.
So that was the answer from a couple of weeks ago. Seemed to pretty much say, yeah, I think that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So here's Elon with Hannity last night.
I just want to clarify on the issue of whether or not you had offered to send this rocket to space to rescue these astronauts sooner to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I heard somebody earlier today say, in fact, that didn't happen when I believe it did.
No, we definitely offered to return the astronauts earlier. There's no question about that. The astronauts were only supposed to be there for 8 days, and they've been there for almost 10 months. So obviously that doesn't make any sense. SpaceX could have brought the astronauts back after a few months at most. And we made that offer to the Biden administration. It was rejected for political reasons.
Yep.
And that's just a fact.
Wow. That is quite something. By the way, as I was playing that audio soundbite from Elon and Sean Hannity on Will Cain's show on Fox, they flashed this up. This is reporting from Bill Malusian. This is really, I didn't even think about this, but you heard Tim Walz say the stupid thing about Tesla stock. As Governor Walz gloats about Tesla stock dropping, records from the Minnesota State Board of Investment show that as of 6/30/2024, the state of Minnesota had 1.6 million shares of Tesla in its retirement fund and 211,000 shares of Tesla in its non-retirement fund. Bill Malusian said, I've reached out to Governor Walz's office to ask if Minnesota still holds Tesla stock or if they've sold it since then. I will update you when I hear back. I love that. Good reporting,
so
Bill Malusian. But think about it. Rooting for the stock to go down. Again, when you have people that work for your state, government workers that are still employed, that you're rooting for their 401ks and their retirement investment portfolio to drop. Because of Elon Musk. It is so sad. They've revealed themselves as the little, tiny, weak people. Those are the compassionate ones. Remember the left?
Yeah.
Unreal. Charles Lipson coming up. I didn't get to this yesterday, but Chucky Schumer was on The View with the ladies on there. And this was one of the bites we pulled yesterday. I don't even think it makes sense. He was defending, you know, crossing over on the government shutdown, the CR from last week, saying, oh, you know, it was the Republicans that wanted the shutdown, trying to justify why he switched. But then he says this.
By the way, Musk, Doge, Vote, they want a shutdown. They said they wanted a shutdown.
Well,
and they thought we'd play into their hands. This guy, Vogt, who's head of the Office of Management Budget, has a whole list of what he wants to cut. And the Republican dream, not the Republican dream, the MAGA right-wing Republican dream of decimating the government, you know why they do it? They want tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. They want to destroy government, give all the money to the wealthy, and get rid of any regulations that they might have. So I felt an obligation to stop.
Okay, Chuck. Tax cuts for the wealthy. You know where the wealthy don't need anything right now.
No,
the wealthy
are
fine.
Correct.
Okay. But here's what will happen to the rest of the American people, Chuck Schumer. And this is where a show like The View doesn't even bring this up. Hey, but you know, Chucky, that if Congress doesn't renew the tax cuts from the first Trump administration, that
everybody
who earns income tax, let's face it, Elon Musk ain't drawing a paycheck, right?
Nope.
He's living off whatever he has in his portfolio and he's got cash in the bank. The rest of America gets a paycheck. And every time we get a paycheck, we have money confiscated from our paycheck. What Donald Trump did in the first administration is allow less money to go to, you know, Burma for drag shows to be confiscated. And your taxes, everyone, I don't know if Democrats understand this. I don't know if people who voted for Kamala understand this. Everyone's taxes will go up. Everyone's, if they don't renew this.
Oh,
Charles Lipson is here from the University of Chicago, one of our great political contributors, Professor Emeritus up there. Charles, I had to go on a rant on that because Schumer, give me a break, right?
Well, I'm personally offended that you don't want these drag shows for cross-dressing people.
Okay. Well, you got a good point there.
And I got to tell you, it was like life-changing for me.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about my point there with Schumer and just trying to get backed up into this corner here and make the case that, you know, the only thing is that it's just for the wealthy and also because they want to destroy government. Look, I think I don't see anyone out there that wants to completely destroy government. We want government to do the basic functions.
Right.
We don't want them to do more than the basic functions. I think that's a big part of it.
I think that's right. Let me. I think there are two parts to what you're saying. The first is that I think the Democrats were put in a position where either choice they made was going to be bad. Right? They were stuck between the dog and the hydrant. And if they shut down the government, they really had a fear that between Elon Musk and what Donald Trump wants to do, that they would be able to cut more deeply. Because as soon as they classify you as a non-essential employee, it makes it easier to cut you from the payroll entirely. So I think that the problem, but the more basic problem for a guy like Schumer, is that what the general election public wants and what the Democratic base wants are different. And if you appeal to one, you lose the other. Schumer, I think, was trying to appeal to the general election base, and you can see that the AOCs and Bernie Sanders and so forth of the party went after him. And now they see he's vulnerable, as all Democrats are. But the Democrats won't have a leader until they pick someone in 2028 to run for president.
They're completely leaderless. Yeah, well, Tim Walz is out there making a fool out of himself right now. Have you listened to any, you know, some of the stuff that's coming out of Gavin Newsom's mouth, and I know how slick he is pretty interesting. He is no doubt trying to get a little bit more in the middle with all this podcast stuff. They've decided they have to do podcasts because the right has been so successful. But he was on with some.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Walz talking about some of this stuff, and that was a joke as well. You know, it was Gavin Newsom, Charles, that was the guy that made sense in that conversation. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Oh man, if they took away his hair gel and he added, if he looked like J.B. Pritzker, he wouldn't be in the running.
Maybe that's
how can anybody look at the state of California? It takes a real effort to screw up a state like that, right? I mean, you know, it's a beautiful environment. It was just where everybody wanted. We all wanted to be with California girls in the 1960s. I mean, it was where things were happening. And they've just made it a disaster, and Gavin Newsom has been a big part of that. But I mean, I find it really striking that higher educated people are more attracted to this sort of BS than people who sort of have their feet on the ground and wear a John Deere hat.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. The white educated, you know, class is not happy with a lot of stuff that's going on right now, and they're very attracted to what the Democrats are doing. I think it's just crazy. But let me play. This is interesting. I didn't play this yesterday. This is the podcast with Tim Walz. This runs for about 50 seconds, Charles, but I think it's interesting here.
Have they figured it out that the identity piece of this is more important than the actual substance behind
it? Well, they've been doing it for decades. I mean, we've saw the welfare queens. They've seen the Southern strategy. We've seen it over and over. It's an old playbook, and we're as dumb as we want to be that we allow them to do this with CRT and ESG and DEI and every three-letter word.
And then they demonize people.
Yeah, demonize, and they weaponize grievance. They other people. They talk down to people, past people. They humiliate people. They weaponize difficult issues. But the bottom line is, and I think it goes back to what we began with, is, and I applaud you for this, is we cannot continue to be on the defense reacting to this. We've got to go on the offense. We got to meet people where they are. But I also think this, and this is where, you know, this is part of the conversation I'm trying to have, is you got to respect people you disagree with, even, and you can't just dismiss people.
All right. So I love that clip because the last 5 seconds is completely different than the previous 45 seconds, because all of a sudden he catches himself and says, oh, wait a second, I got to sound like I'm a little bit moderate on these issues. But they have convinced themselves clearly that anything that the Republicans, Charles, put before the American people is just brainwashing the American people. It's like people in the middle part of the country, let's just use where we are, for example, or in Chicago, that we really don't want, you know, biological men to compete against, or that we just want to do that. I don't even know what the reasoning is for that, because there are good reasons for every issue that the Republicans have put up. If it's the DEI front, well, we don't like that because people are just being promoted for their color or for their gender, not because of the expertise they have. And we think that in medical schools and in, you know, scientists on down the list, that that's not appropriate. So there's good reasons, but they want to put all this on identity politics and just act like the Republicans have won the game there in social media.
Preach it, brother. You know, when I heard those two guys talking, I thought about that quote in an Adam Sandler movie where one of the people says, every single person who listened to this is dumber for having listened to it.
Right.
You know? I mean, first of all, they said basically two things, and both of them, it seemed to me, applied completely to the Democrats and not the Republicans.
Oh, absolutely.
They talked about weaponizing grievances and identity politics. The Democrats have been running on identity politics for a half century. They actually ran on it earlier. I mean, you know, in other words, if you're Italian American, vote for us. If you're Irish American, vote for us, and so forth. But it really became intense after racial politics came in. And then the weaponizing grievance, good Lord. I mean, envy is the main element of their campaign platform. I also think that this issue, which you brought up at the very beginning, which is, are these really going to be, if the tax cuts are renewed, will they really be tax cuts for the rich? I think that's all mirror image politics. I mean, back in the day, there was something called a Chatty Cathy doll. And if you pulled it, it said one of about 10 pre-recorded things. And that's kind of what the Democratic Party sounds like. Yes. They're running against an old version of the Democrats, of the Republicans, which is really a George H.W., their vision of George H.W. Bush. It's not the way Ronald Reagan ran the party, and it's certainly not the way that Donald Trump runs it. And look at them saying that everything Elon Musk is doing is for his own financial benefit.
It makes
as
no
if
sense.
He needed it.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Everything that Schumer says, and again, they're not challenged on this at all. No one ever brings up, wait a second, you want to talk about the rich? They just want to play the class warfare game. Hillary did it. Obama did it. They all do it because it's really the only trick that they have in the bag at this point. But I want to talk about the media here, Charles, as well, because I don't know if you caught this. I highlighted this yesterday. This is what CBS News did a couple of nights ago on their evening newscast that clearly nobody watches anymore, but still I think it's very interesting.
On this St. Patrick's Day, as millions of Americans celebrate their Irish heritage, recent events remind us that the Irish were among the first immigrants to be targeted in deportation crackdowns.
In the mid-1800s, New York and Massachusetts enforced policies to have Irish immigrants rounded up and deported.
All right, so that's how they started their newscast on St. Patrick's Day, to go back to the 1880s and act like, you know, the country hasn't evolved at all since then. We're still, you know, in Jim Crow. Some people probably still have slaves. None of this has changed over the last couple hundred years, Charles.
Oh, absolutely. And you see it also with the attacks on Israel. They call Israel now Nazis. So I just find this sort of thing sort of the opposite of thinking seriously. You just, I mean, Walter Cronkite's news is dead. It's just sad to see what has become. And I'll tell you, the saddest of all in some ways is to see the AP, which used to be just a reliable, hard news, you could run it on any newspaper, become a left-wing outlet. So I don't view, when I read, as I do every day, I read the online version of the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Wall Street Journal. When I look at the Washington Post and the New York Times, I don't even read the news stories as if they're news. I read them as a kind of version of an editorial, because just like that CBS, that was news. There was nothing that was false in it. There were efforts to deport the Irish and so forth. That's not false, but the whole implication of it was false.
Framing it
and
around
the idea that. Yeah, exactly. And the idea that you lead the news with it is designed to influence people, not inform them.
Well, and you know, I haven't talked about this. Sue, you didn't see 60 Minutes over the weekend, did you? Charles,
no, I don't
did you see
anymore.
60 Minutes at all on the drone story?
No, life's too short.
Yeah, no, I get it. And so here's the deal. Bill Whitaker did this story. It actually was pretty interesting. My wife and her aunt were sitting around, and I was making cookies the other night. We were watching the story. And it was sort of, I even have some audio I can play in a little bit, but it was focusing on how we still have a lot of questions about the drones. I had a couple of reactions. One was, Bill Whitaker's doing this story. I don't trust him because he came into St. Louis.
Right.
He painted us as a bunch of racists on the Kim Gardner story. So it's sad that whether it's the CBS Evening News, 60 Minutes, you know, NBC, whatever it might be, I have to go in with more skepticism than I've ever had before because I don't know if they're telling the truth.
That's true. And, you know, it's like a spouse who catches a husband or wife cheating. Your trust is gone from then on. It's really hard to win it back.
It is, yeah.
And I think that the mainstream media has lost trust. I can remember the moment it really began, which was when Dan Rather was exposed for the first time on the internet, the first time ordinary people got to look at documents that the mainstream media was reporting, and they showed that he was just lying. And those kinds of things have really changed. Everything is now transparent. You have everybody who's listening to this broadcast and says, "Well, I don't agree with Mark or I don't agree with Charles." You know, they can just go on and post their views, and if they have a lot of substance to it, and if we were widely heard, they could come after us. And I just think, you know, I just think that the people who are saying that the Republicans have lost touch with reality, they're not looking at the polls. The polls show
exactly the opposite. Yeah, I know.
Exactly the opposite.
Well,
unless there's a recession, the Republicans really cruise forward. If there's a recession, they're in deep trouble.
I just think that, look, I told you this, Sue, a couple of weeks ago, and what I'm about to say is going to sound elitist, and I apologize for that, but my daughter turned 10 years old a couple of weeks ago, and she wanted to go for her birthday dinner to the Olive Garden. Charles, I had probably not been to the Olive Garden since 1997, okay? I'm not an Olive Garden type of person. We got great Italian food here in St. Louis, but I went to the Olive Garden because my daughter wanted to go there. And I walked in, and I'm telling you, there were working class people, guys with flannel shirts, hats.
Yeah.
These were hardworking Americans who can barely afford to go to any other place, but they're there at, you know, the Olive Garden. I bring it up because there's not one issue that any of those people in Olive Garden would relate to when it comes to AOC or Chuck Schumer or Tashara Jones or any Democrat. Everything, if you went in there and you just kind of even didn't mention political candidates and started asking them, hey, do you think little boys should play against my daughter here in sports? Not a chance. There wouldn't even be 1% in the Olive Garden that would think that. All of these other things. Do you think that everyone's taxes should go up in the country who are working people? No, hell no. So why won't the media represent what in my part of the country is the overwhelming majority opinion, even amongst Democrats?
It's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. It's kind of rhetorical.
It's a, I think it's a great question. I think part of the answer, it comes from how journalists are now recruited. If you look at an older generation of journalists, they were blue-collar men and women, mostly men, right? I mean, they were from a working class.
Right.
And now they all go to
elite colleges.
If they go to one of the greatest journalism schools in the country, which is the University of Missouri, I've been told that there by people who know that there is not a single Republican on the journalism faculty.
No, there's not. Look, Charles, this is a longer conversation. You and I should maybe have it sometime off the air, but I went up just 3 weeks ago and sat down with the dean of the journalism school, David Kerpius. He invited me to a basketball game. All of this stemmed from some audio recordings that I was shared from the day after the election from a documentary journalism class in which this professor was unhinged. And in the first minute, he goes, capitalism is idiotic. And it goes on from there. So I had a discussion with the dean of the journalism school about newsroom diversity and not the type that involves the color of your skin, but idea diversity. Right. And I think it was a good conversation, but I'm under no, assumption that anything will change. And everyone that's on that staff at Mizzou are lefties. There's no one that's even like kind of in the middle. He's trying to find someone right now that might write a conservative column for the Columbia Missourian, and they can't find it.
Jeez.
Because they, most of the people that want to do this stuff, they want to change the world. That's what they say, journalists. Charles, I'm running way late here. Awesome to have you on. We will talk soon. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. I'm going to change the world before I talk to you
again. Well, you always do. That's what you do for a living. All right, we're coming back with more. I got this good audio from 60 Minutes I want to share coming up next. Susan, who's coming up here in the next hour, Brian Kilmeade, who will be here at the Factory on Saturday night, is coming up as well. You know, I was talking to Charles Lipson about 60 Minutes, and it's sad, Sue, because I always feel like we should glean actual news and information from a show like 60 Minutes. It used to be sort of the standard bearer, and the story the other night was interesting because the way they were talking about these drones is they're still a major problem. You remember where the legacy media kind of left us on that story? And people were just seeing things, right? These things weren't real, but this is what they said the other night.
You believe that these drones are a spying system, a spying platform?
What would a logical person conclude?
That these are spying incursions.
And yet, I can tell you, I am privy to classified briefings at the highest level. I think the Pentagon and the national security advisors are still mystified.
Still mystified?
Yes.
That doesn't make you feel good, does it?
Wait a minute. I'm so confused by this.
Thank you. I am too.
I don't, truly, how are we supposed to know what's real?
Yeah, we don't. Now, again, here's the thing about that too. They even mentioned that some of these interviews were done in December. But if we go back to the fall, and we covered this story a lot, there was a lot of mystery. Even Chris Murphy, who's a whack job, nutty liberal in Connecticut, the senator out there, said, yeah, you know what? There's some weird things. People are seeing weird things. I've seen weird things. And after that, the question was, well, where are they coming from? Where are the drones? And then we were left with the final judgment from the media, which is everybody made all these things up. And by the way, I even thought there was something to that because nothing ever came of it. But now 60 Minutes is telling you it's Chinese spy drones, which it probably is when you think about it. Sue's News is coming up. Kilmeade at 425.